Welcome to the News Grubs podcast, a new and refreshing news format presented by the one and only Scotto, AP and The Fish.
Hi everyone and welcome to the News Grubs, the podcast that Airbus Albo, the Australian Prime Minister, listens to pass time on his endless jet setting around the world. I'm Scotto and joining me as usual, Fishy and AP. Hi guys.
Hey, how are you, Scotto?
Oh, life's grand. This week we're looking at tattooed eyeballs. I don't like the sound of that. A brutal obituary. Ooh, a zero-star hotel, a space-exploring hamster. But first, a interesting neighbourhood dispute. Fishy, what's the go?
Now, Scotto, AP, most of us, it would be true to say, would have at least one neighbour.
Yes.
Okay. That's okay, because neighbours can be quite good. They can keep an eye on your property. They can come over and borrow your sugar.
Hate them.
They can do all sorts of things. But one woman is apparently caught up in a tricky predicament after finding it impossible to have some alone time because the next door neighbour keeps interrupting her.
Is she a good sort?
It doesn't say.
Okay, I'm going to assume she is.
There's no photograph to prove otherwise.
So, so the chick in the picture is not actually Young Darling.
I don't think it's Young Darling.
I'm going to assume it is.
Stop calling her Young Darling.
Sorry.
She apparently moved into this new house about a year ago. And she's got a kid. And she's just basically likes keeping to herself. And that's fine. There's a lot of people. I like doing that.
Now, well, there's a difference between that. You actually hate people.
Well, that's it. But see, there's also a downside with neighbours, generally speaking, is if you're
annoying.
If you're not nice to them, even though they might be annoying, they might report you for allegedly making drugs in your house because you're so private,
right.
and the fact that you've got the blinds down and you're never seen outside like me.
And there's an enormous power line going into your house and an enormous water supply and a lot of poly tunnel
yes.
material delivered.
And the odd smell or two.
Right, okay, fair enough.
Now, to set the scene, the garden fence.
This is your place or Young Darling's place?
No, this is Young Darling's place.
Okay, just checking.
Now, stop calling it that because I'm calling it that now. So setting the scene now, the garden fence is currently pretty low. Oh. It's not one of those tall ones like Australian ones.
Those pommy ones,
very low ones, yeah. And you can obviously see across everyone's gardens. And she says, when I'm out in the garden...
Nuded up.
No.
Well, I bet it does.
The neighbour calls across to me and then drives me mad.
Why doesn't she just tell him to, oi, nick off?
Well, she even says they're lovely people, and I'm sure they are.
Oh, I see.
And they're very friendly, she says. But she says also, it's my private garden, and I'm out there with my baby, her child.
Yep, nuded up.
Not for a neighbourhood chat. And if I wanted to chat, I'd stand there in the front of the house, and obviously she would chat. Now, guys... what would you do if you were in the same predicament?
Bill, doesn't it say there that she got stuck in a 40-minute conversation once, couldn't get away?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I think I'd like to call into question her interpersonal skills.
I'm in agreement with you there, right?
Because I find several issues with this. First of all, if you say, look, I'm just out here for some quiet time with my child, I'll catch you another time.
Not that hard.
That's fairly economical, fairly succinct. I don't think I'm being rude.
No.
Right, and then I went one step further, gentlemen. I went and Googled bad neighbours stories on the internet. Now, we haven't got enough time in the next decade to cover the things I've just said here. From people dumping rubbish, one neighbour stole the other neighbour's dog and didn't find out until a few months later when we saw our dog in their yard.
How do you miss your dog in your next door neighbour's yard, really? Wouldn't you know what its bark sounded like?
Kept it away for a while and whatever. Anyway, and there was another guy that used to put his rubbish out never in a bin, so that what the raccoons and other critters didn't eat and spread around, the wind would spread down the rest of their street.
Yes.
It took 8 months to resolve, after which they didn't buy a simple trash can. They moved out.
Oh, wow.
So there's another point that I'd like to make, even though it was the perpetrators that moved out there. Maybe she's not a good fit in the neighbourhood. Maybe she needs to piss off somewhere else.
I'm in agreement with you, AP. I think she's a stuck-up. I'm assuming she was a good sort, and I've gone off of that now. I think she's a bit of a pain in the ass. And yeah. I think that, you know, she's got some nice old people who, let's face it, they've got nothing in their lives. They're, you know, waiting to just, they're in God's great waiting room, waiting to die. So they want to have a bit of a chat because no one else in the world, you know, they've got no relatives that want them because they've got no money, so there's no inheritance. And they just want to be a bit friendly and a bit nice. And this woman, this mean-spirited woman, if I may go so far as to say that, is just being mean-spirited.
But nice. Hang on, wait a minute, wait a minute. If she did say something such as what AP suggested, look, I'm here with my child to enjoy me time at the moment, yeah, maybe she was worried that if she did say something like that, it would be misinterpreted and people would say, oh, don't talk to her. She's a real mean lady. So she probably thought, I won't say anything. I'll just get on with my business. And maybe the person who is interrupting me can work out for themselves. I don't want to engage for the time being.
No, I don't see that at all. No.
I reckon the other thing, the passage of time is going to tell a lot here. I mean, if she decides to stay there, it's going to be self-leveling, right? Because they're going to work out that she's a git.
Yeah, I agree.
Right? And they're going to start talking over her fence line to the neighbours on the other side.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And she's going to need to duck for cover.
Yep.
But I don't think they're just going to work out that she doesn't sound like a budding socialite to me.
Mm-hmm.
Nor does she have the interpersonal skills to cope.
Mm-hmm.
And she needs to move to another neighbourhood with a lower common denominator at the moment.
Or get some quick-growing bamboo, that stuff that grows up 40 feet in 20 minutes, and plant that along the boundary, and then they'll get the hint. I think it's entirely her fault.
Various solutions have been offered. Because she posted the thing in some sort of mum's chat room. I read.
Yes.
And one offered a solution saying we used fence extenders. Well, that's great, isn't it? First, you go out of your way to
upset them,
to not talk to them,
mm-hmm.
and then you get your husband, assuming it's a conventional relationship, of course.
To build a Great Wall of China.
Yeah. To build fence extenders. That sends a wonderful message to the neighbor, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Whatever happened to the days when everyone was just friendly? And nice to each other.
Because people today, Scott O and AP, don't want to get involved in the personal lives of other people, you know, because it ends up being too much trouble.
Well, then just ignore them. When she walks outside, she's got the gear off, they're nuding up in the backyard, just completely ignore them.
She's ignoring them.
I think that's just rude. Damn rude, if you ask me. Damn rude.
Now, a lot of people in the world, fellas, are getting tattoos these days.
Oh, God, I know.
Yes, I've even got a close relative of mine that surprised us. Returned from a Thailand trip, which has been covered in another radio program. But tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get serious about this for a minute.
Okay.
Although it is difficult looking at this story.
It's not a good look.
We've got this chick from Brisbane, Australia. So, fairly local story, but I imagine there's an example of this clown in most places of the world.
Mm-hmm.
She calls herself an Instagram model, which means that she's not a model at all. She's covered 98% of her body. Now, you have a think about that for a moment.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot.
Right. Well, the percentage, some of that percentage includes between your toes.
Yeah.
Between the cracks of your butt.
I was going to say that.
Yeah, being too, yeah. And she was obviously looking to try and get her coverage up, well, as much as Telstra claim they covered Australia in their mobile.
600 coverage. Tattoos she's got, hasn't she?
600 tattoos.
Yeah.
And then the percentages that she found she was missing, you know, once she's done, I don't know, the inside of her ears.
Careful.
labial folds, etc.
I can't believe he said it.
She's decided, gentlemen, to have her eyeballs tattooed.
Good God.
Let me skirt over that for a minute.
Okay.
After that went wrong, and we'll go into the epic fail that was in a moment.
Oh.
Eyeballs are not skin.
It's probably it failed.
It's a membrane, and then inside there's obviously the white of the eye. which is actually what she ended up getting tattooed. So I suppose it's probably more that she got them dyed, I would think.
You would think so.
It doesn't go into the actual technical people. I don't find too many PhD physicists doing tattoos, so you don't probably find a technical explanation for it anywhere. But with the issue of tattooing the eyes, mm-hmm. that went bad, and she took months to get over it. Couldn't see out of one eye for 3 months, right? What do you think she did about that?
Got another tattoo it. On
it. Yeah, she found a very small space at the top of her chest, and had a tattoo done of a chick with blue tattooed eyes with blue tears coming down.
That's
as
weird.
To document her experience forever. And so she's Amber Luke is her name. She's spent more than $250,000.
How does she do for a job?
An extreme modification. Oh, she's an Instagram model, Scott.
Oh, sorry, of course. What was I thinking?
Some sort of minor billionaire.
Mm-hmm.
Despite
it's better saying that a bank teller.
Okay.
She probably works in the bank or something as well. But
yeah, she covered
an Instagram model or influencer sounds more fashionable, doesn't it?
She says the hefty price tag's been worth it, in inverted commas, because she's now seen how resilient she is after putting her body through such extreme stress.
Good God.
There's nothing logical about that last
statement. Nothing at all.
Nothing.
Amber has amassed more than 600 tats, as Fishy mentioned, during her seven-year transformation. Seven-year screw-up, I would have said. Yeah. And shows no signs of slowing down. Well, I've got there'd be a rough sign for her, because littlest AP's boyfriend's brother has slowed down because there's nowhere left.
Oh, my God.
Nowhere left. Despite admitting suffering from seizures and temporary blindness following some of her procedures.
What part of this is fun?
An Instagram post reflected on the botched eyeball surgery.
I think it's a mental illness she's got.
I think it is. Well, tattoos are known to be addictive. People like the slow burn pain that they bring.
She's obviously addicted to it then.
Now, similar to the last story today, gentlemen, I have gone the way of Google.
Mm-hmm.
And I've googled two words, and these will resonate very nicely with you too, I fear.
This will be good.
Stupid tattoos.
Right, yes.
Right. Hours of entertainment are ahead of you, listeners, and Scotto and Fishy, because if you Google stupid tattoos, you'll be there.
I did, and I'm getting that guy from Fantasy Island.
Have you seen the image?
It's a pain.
There's a tattoo there saying tattoos are permanent.
Yep, can't argue with that one.
There's another one that looks like, I think he's tried to do a scary spider with his nose as the body of the spider.
Oh, that's
I see, right. What it looks like is a lobster landed on his face. or it's a tribute to Sigourney Weaver's movie.
Oh, franchise. Alien.
Alien.
And it's actually an alien. But look, dead set morons. I have a problem with this chick because she looks...
stupid.
Yeah, hideous is the word you're
stupid.
Looking for.
Hideously stupid.
It doesn't say whether she has a partner. I don't know who would put up with that.
I doubt it.
She even started crying bright blue tears following the surgery that tried to turn her eyes blue. Now, her eyes are blue in the photo that's been supplied to us.
Yes.
Torturous procedure had me endure 4 syringe injections into each of my eyeballs. Now, as Fishy has pointed out, eyeballs are not skin, and they're not supposed to be tattooed.
No, I wouldn't have thought so.
I cried blue tears for 2 days after the procedure. She later commemorated the occasion by getting a tattoo of a woman crying blue tears on her chest.
Unbelievable. She's had a tongue split twice.
Oh,
I don't know why you do that. And then she's
imagine how she talks. No wonder she's just given an interview to a journalist. Imagine trying to do an audio grab with her.
Oh, it's painful. She's also claims the experience almost made her swear off body modifications altogether.
Almost.
Though she has since gone back under the knife, spent another $70,000 on breast implants, cheek and lip fillers, pointed implants placed in her ears, and a Brazilian butt lift.
Do you want your $2,000 withdrawal in $10 notes?
Live long and prosper, you dumb bitch.
Now, when you go to a funeral normally, gentlemen, there's a bit of an obituary, it's usually, he was a nice bloke, or let's face it, if it's a politician, no matter how bad they were, everyone's talking about what a nice person they are. And traditionally, that's the way things go. However, not necessarily the case, because in Florida, just over the holiday weekend, an obituary was published in the Florida Times Union newspaper in the death of Lawrence Pfaff Sr.
Was he an annoying neighbour or something?
He was Lawrence Pfaff Jr.'s father.
I see, that's the relationship. Okay.
And strangely enough, I don't think it was a particularly harmonious father-son relationship.
Oh, yeah, but he would have made a nice gesture by saying something nice about him.
All right, well, let me just read this for you.
Good.
Pfaff is survived by his three children. No, four. Oops, five. Okay, this isn't beginning to go well already, is it? Well, okay. As of 2022, we believe there is one more that we know about, but there could be more. His love was abundant when it came to himself, but for his children, it was limited. From a young age, he was a ladies' man, an abusive alcoholic, solidifying his commitment with both the path of destruction he left behind, damaging his adult children, and leaving them broken. I'm going to say that's not one of the greatest ones I've ever heard.
No.
He also
can I
wrote,
say...
Yes?
So can I say this so far? I hope this guy, the son...
Laurie.
Made that announcement in that obituary well after the will was settled.
I'm going to suggest that the will probably didn't really do a lot. He also writes that his father's hobbies included abusing his first wife, and that he possesses no redeeming qualities for his children, including the ones he knew and the ones he knew about. So it sounds like he's been a bit of a goer. He left his family when he was nine. Oh, sorry, I'll redo that. Larry Sr. left the family when Larry Jr. was nine and had several more children with various women and abandoned them as well.
So.
Now, apparently, he was at one stage a police officer. And because he was, a significant alcoholic at the NYPD, the commanding officer of the NYPD department that he was with took away his gun and his badge and replaced it with a broom until he could get his act back. So I'm beginning to sense a pattern here. I'm getting a feeling for Larry Sr.
It's not just a disgruntled family member that might, you know, want to put the boot in finally at the funeral.
Yes.
It's obviously widespread.
I think you'd have to say widespread is, basically exactly what it is.
Well, he can't sue us now. We can call him anything we like.
Well, that's true. And I suspect Larry that. I don't think Larry Jr. is worried too much about it either.
Jr.'s only been able to contact his many brothers and sisters by DNA research.
Jesus. Oh, it's not a good look, is it? So, it's. Normally, happy, chirpy, cheerful sort of obituaries, but not in every case when dad or the relative in question is basically an abusive prick.
Do you know what? This could open up a whole new business idea for some industrious entrepreneur where you interview the family and you say, look, do you want to say nice things about the person or bad things? Oh, I'd like to say bad things. Okay. All right, let's get started with a list. And you just sort of build this profile. And then you create this wonderfully entertaining, creative obituary, and you as the business owner deliver it for the family.
Isn't that what the padre actually does before he commits the service in the chapel?
But doesn't the padre only say nice things?
Oh,
generally speaking.
I reckon if you slung him up, you know, for the plate.
I like your idea, Fishy, but you're going to run into problems because – the spokesperson for the First Coast News said, we regrettably published an obituary that did not adhere to our guidelines and we're looking into the matter further. We regret any distress this may have caused. Now, I think that's what's called an infraction into their freedom of speech.
I agree with that. First Amendment issue here.
Yeah, I mean, if you put an obituary in and you say how you feel about the person that's passed away. Now,
it's censorship, isn't it? It's
censorship, exactly right. And it'd be the same thing if there was a eulogy that you get a briefing, the padre gets a briefing and he goes and talks about it. He might hear just any everything, you know, that was stinky about that person, and yet he will still reach deep down and find something nice to say about the
guy. That's true, and they always do.
I like your choice of words of denigrating the person. Stinky.
But that's true, they do. They always, the padre, I didn't know John from a bar of soap, but I've talked to his family and he was a nice bloke, and yeah. I'm sure he was, you know, it's never,
he was
such and such. I'm sure he might have been, yes. or he was a nice yes. bloke, or he was this or was that. Well, clearly old Larry Sr. was a turd.
I think the padre would be saying things like, I'm sure there were times when he tried his hardest to be a nice bloke.
Yes, I think that's probably a fair assessment.
Yeah, because padres, they've just got their way of just twisting things around a bit.
They should also provide a bit more. The padre should provide a bit more entertainment and fix the church up a little bit. So making it look like a little bit of a game show. So at the end, if the padre thinks and everyone else in the congregation thinks that the guy has to go to hell, the padre presses the little button and the cask lowers into the ground.
Oh, and flames come up the side.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
As a theatrical thing.
Like it did with Prince Philip.
But if he goes to heaven, mm-hmm. It goes the other way with this massive spring that launches the cask out through a trapdoor in the ceiling.
Right.
And for the effect, obviously.
Right. Oh, okay,
Not to hurt anyone. And, that should sort of be quite an interesting day for your normal bland funerals.
And would they have like clouds of, you know, fluffy white clouds, sort of smoky thing as it's being shot out of the roof?
Scott,
I'm worried about where it's going to land.
Now you're getting ridiculous.
Sorry.
I always think of Switzerland as being a sort of a neutral. But they don't, aren't they the ones that don't take part in any wars?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Completely neutral.
The neutral thing.
Mm-hmm.
So how did someone in Switzerland come up with the idea of having a hotel room?
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit different, though, fellas. It doesn't have a roof.
Right.
It doesn't have three walls. It's only got a wall on the bedhead side of the hotel bed.
Oh. How can that be called a hotel room, then?
Well, it's been set up by a Swiss hotelier. And it's right beside a highway and it's right beside a service station.
Well, that'd be convenient.
Yes, it's up on a platform. It's just got two bedside tables and two lamps.
Jeez, you'd want to have an electric blanket, wouldn't you?
And it's been dubbed the Zero Star Hotel, the Null Suite.
Oh, yeah, Suite. I've heard about this.
And so it's in the Swiss canton, which is a strange way of saying suburb, of Valais.
Now, the way you say that.
The intention...
Say it again, AP.
Valet.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The intention is to make guests think about the problems of the world. But it costs you $337 Australian.
Let me tell you, I'd be thinking about the problems of my bank account more than the world if I had to pay that sort of money.
But then, and then they go a bit further than that. The idea is not to sleep.
Well, what's the bloody point then?
The idea is to reflect. What's in sleep is not the point, says Frank Ricklin.
Why didn't they just build a living room?
That's right. What's important is reflecting about the current world situation. Staying here is a statement about the need for urgent changes in society.
What a stupid idea.
Nah. Look, this entrepreneur
is an idiot.
Has thought to himself, what way can I spend the least amount of money and call it a hotel?
But who would stay there? Oh, well, I suppose millennials and other morons.
Oh, yeah.
Woke money.
Woke type people.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, what a stupid idea. As if you're going to be laying in this hotel bed, only half asleep, because you're contemplating war, climate change, and humanity's endless quest for perfection.
And I don't know. I assume Switzerland can get quite cold.
Bloody cold. It's got that cold, wet, white stuff called snow.
Yes. So you'd be shivering.
It's a stupid idea.
Oh, come on.
I don't even think of all that sort of stuff when I'm sitting in front of the television watching the news.
What are they going to do in the Swiss winter?
Excellent question.
I'll tell you what they're going to do is when you end up in your own car after you've parked it in probably a garage and you'd sleep in your own car.
I do like the way, though, that it does come with a butler service offering drinks and breakfast. So while you're contemplating the humanity and the problems in Sierra Leone, or the famine in Ethiopia, or the struggle of people around the world, the endless struggle of poor people who can't even, you know, get clean water to drink with, or food, or whatever the case may be, some bastard comes along in a little penguin suit and goes, oh, good morning, here's your breakfast, and perhaps you would like some drinks for morning tea or for lunch.
I wonder if you're allowed to smoke, because you're a smoker. I mean, smoking next to a petrol station?
I wouldn't think you would. I'm not sure you're actually allowed to smoke anywhere in Switzerland. I think it's been banned pretty much. That's why I don't go there.
I could be wrong. I've got a quick update on the price.
Yes.
325 Swiss francs is actually $490 Australian.
Yeah, a night.
A night.
Yeah, yes. But it does, again, it does come with butler service.
Oh, yeah. And?
Yes, some bloke.
But no, it's clearly a butler because it says butler service.
It's just a butler, Scott. A butler's just a name for something, right?
So it's just some dude.
It's just some bloke that works there. So
when we look at the photo of the petrol station, it's Fred over there on the tractor, the clapped out old tractor. He drives from, I suppose the quality of merchandise you get would actually be from the petrol station.
It's Fred that's pumping fuel, or it's Fred who's the cashier at the petrol station as well.
He's done a couple of them apparently. This Swiss artisan Patrick Rickland, who is the co-founder of the Zero Star Hotel. He's done a couple of them. I mean, what a stupid idea.
From the photograph, it looks like there's a fair bit of engineering involved in the platform upon which the bed sits, right? And the side table. So it's not what you might imagine as sort of a cheap, homemade, garagey type setup.
No, sorry.
But I'm just—it's obviously a lot of money's gone into that aspect of it. But I just cannot see people regularly paying equivalent of $495 Australian.
If you go to a couple of the other photos of the the exhibits of their work and so on and so forth, there's a lovely one overlooking some Swiss town. Which, if you were in nice weather, and you do get big dunas, so you would be toasty warm. That's a pretty bloody nice view, actually.
500. Yeah, 500 and no roof. And they're not reinventing the wheel here. It's glamping without a roof.
Well, exactly. That's exactly what it is. And no, where do you go to the dunny? Because I'm up three or four times a night.
The servo.
Yeah, but
They give you a key tied to a toilet door lid.
But on their other versions, there's one here in a vineyard. They've got the one at the petrol station. They've got the one overlooking the town that I'm looking at. I suppose you just pee off the side of the balcony or the side of the bed, which is what I do.
They've probably found a way of avoiding getting a development application into the local council by just building a floor.
Yeah, no, it's a stupid idea. I'm still not convinced that I'm going to be laying there freezing my what's left of my raisin-sized testicles off because they're so cold, thinking about the problems of the world. I think it's a stupid idea.
A whole new way of grading hotels is required because this doesn't even fall under the star rating. I think that we should have a turd rating, and this is a four-turd hotel.
I'm with
you. Well, if there's no ceiling, wouldn't it be a million stars?
Good point.
Yeah, fair call.
A giant step for hamkind.
Dun, dun, dun.
Apparently, a hamster survives a daring trip into the stratosphere on a flying balloon.
Right.
Wow.
Why?
Because it's there. You know, why?
Right.
Why climb a mountain? Why build a bridge? The space ham reached a maximum altitude of 14 miles, which is approximately 23 kilometres, and is in good health after being safely recovered from the sea, of all places.
Right. Okay, I'm going to come back to my original question.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. Why would you get camp? Because people want to do stuff like that.
But it's not like they're inventing the wheel. The bloody Russians and the Americans sent animals into space 60 or 70 years ago.
True. Monkeys and dogs.
Exactly.
So I'll tell you why.
Okay.
because the company involved is hoping to bring manned space travel to the masses. And the experiment, Scotto, was to give would-be consumers confidence.
Oh, right, that a hamster didn't, in fact, die. So we're going to squeeze into a thing that is 60 centimetres high and 50 centimetres in diameter.
That's it.
Isn't it going to be kind of a tight squeeze?
Didn't Elon Musk and the other two guys, billionaires, didn't they do something similar with a slightly larger scale? Yes. They basically shoved a couple of human beings, like, in a tin can, basically.
Yes.
Fired them off into space, and then the thing came crashing down.
Yes.
It's basically the same concept.
Yeah, pretty much, except this one's on a balloon.
True.
Which is a nice, true, gentle flight.
Yeah.
So that's not a bad-looking thing.
Well, you know, according to the company that's behind it, the daring experiment, the hamster was placed in an airtight cabin, 60 centimetres high and 50 centimetres in diameter. See, that's probably, if you work out the ratios, it's probably the same as the SpaceX.
I'm thinking it's about the same size. Yeah.
Or Blue Origin or whatever they call it as well.
Yeah.
So, and it's all, of course, pressurised and all the rest of it. One photograph showed the rodent looking wistfully out of the window.
It does, doesn't it? I'm looking at that very photo. Gee, it looks happy and content, doesn't it? Sitting on its little bamboo.
Oh. It looks like it's shitting himself.
Actually, it looks like it's dead, to be honest.
I mean, look at those little brown pebble things.
Well, they launched it, and it accelerated at 6.3 metres a second. Now, you think about something travelling vertically over 6 metres per second.
How fast is that in miles an hour?
Well, I have no idea, and I'm not going to calculate it.
I'm just getting my calculator out now.
I should have provided that information.
6 metres by 60 seconds
Yes.
is 360 metres in a minute. By 60 minutes.
Yes.
That's 21,600 thingamajiggies at something or other.
Yeah. So the last thing he saw would have been his asshole down past the balls. And this one that they've apparently fetched after the recovery off the Japan's Makaio Island, I reckon is a stand-in hamster.
I think you're probably right.
What's happening now in the world is what was happening in the very early 1960s and mid-1970s, and that is...
A lot of animals die?
Well, no, it's that space bug.
Ah.
It's the sort of the space race thing again, and we're all invincible and we're all going to go to Mars and all the rest of it. And as Bill Gates said the other day... Why would we want to go to Mars? What a waste of time and money.
Oh, if bloody Christopher Columbus and the other explorers, Captain Cook, had had that kind of attitude, we wouldn't be here. The Americans wouldn't be there.
But we know what's there.
In those days. They thought they were going to fall off the edge of the Earth.
Okay, but we know what's on Mars. We've sent rovers up there. They've sent all the data back, including photographs. It's got no atmosphere. What good is it to us?
Nice place to pop for a holiday. I've seen the movie.
It's bragging rights, is it? So the Russians will say, our hamster only hit the ground at Mach 1.2, yours hit it at 1.6.
I'm disappointed in Bill with that kind of attitude, to be honest. I really am. I think that's very, very unfortunate. Very unfortunate, that kind of. I think if that was the attitude, then we wouldn't have Internet Explorer or anything like that.
There you go.
On reflection, that's not a bad idea. Anyway, well, there it is. That's the news for this week on the News Grubs. Remember, if you've got something you think we should know about, why not drop us a line at mail@newsgrubs.com and fill us in and tell us whether, A, you like it, or B, if you've got something that you think we should cover. But join us next time for the News Grubs, when we'll bring you important news items that'll make your brain EEG really leap off the paper and the doctor worry about it. And if you haven't already subscribed, by the way, make sure you do that so you can keep up with the latest episodes. On that note, we'll see you next week. Bye, guys.
See you, Scotty.
Bye, everyone. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the News Grubs. We'll be back next week.